Caroline, Willie, Dean May say sign up today to play in the 615 Open at the beautiful Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, June 20th. Compete for amazing prizes, including $10,000 cash for a hole-in-one or a $20,000 kitchen or bath makeover from Eurostone. Plus, you'll have the chance to win exclusive prizes only a radio station can provide. So do not miss out on this incredible event. For more details and to sign up, visit 615open.com. We were just reacting to Pierre LeBrun's breakdown of where the Carolina Hurricanes go next. You might be telling yourself, why do I care about the Carolina Hurricanes? Because Pierre LeBrun listed the Nashville Predators as a spot that would make sense next for Marty Natchez. And joining us now to break all of that down is Adam Vingan. Adam, appreciate you for joining us. We always appreciate all the analytics and the numbers and all of the insight that you bring to the program. Just initial thoughts on Marty Natchez to the Predators, potentially.
If the Predators could pull that off, that would be a great move for them. I shared some numbers with Willie about Martin Natchez the other day. And to summarize, Natchez is one of the best forwards in the league at making plays with speed. His ability to get up the ice with his legs, the ability to create offense after carrying the puck into the offensive zone. He's a really shifty skater too. His ability to evade defenders at high speed. A lot of what Natchez brings to the table, I think, would fit really well in an Andrew Burnett coached team. And just to give you a sense of the types of players that are similar to Marty Natchez in terms of their analytic profile, here are five players who have similar skill sets based on their analytics, just to give you a sense of where Natchez fits in. Matthew Barzal of the Islanders, Travis Konecny of the Flyers, Matt Boldy of the Wild, Kevin Fiala, of course, former Predators player, now with the Kings, and Nikolai Ehlers of the Winnipeg Jets. All five players, incredibly skilled, good skaters, make things happen at high speed. The fact that Natchez appears to want out of Carolina, he's 25 years old. Players of his caliber at his age do not become available very often. The other thing that's happening in Carolina that may change things one way or the other is they've recently undergone a management change. Don Waddell, their longtime general manager, stepped down to take a front office role with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Eric Tulski was promoted to interim GM in Carolina, but they're going to do a search for a full-time general manager, which could be Eric Tulski, who's paid his dues in that organization for a long time. So I'm wondering if a change in management might change Natchez's perspective or the team's perspective on whether or not there's a long-term fit. But I've always really liked the player, and a lot of the things that he does well would serve the Predators well based on the way that Andrew Burnett wants the team to play.
And in this article from Pierre LeBrun, he writes, the real caveat is that Carolina would want a star caliber player back in any package. And to that I would say, well, of course that's what Carolina wants. Obviously that's what they would want. But what's a realistic package for Natchez, in your opinion?
I feel like I've read a few of these mock trade proposals over the past number of days or weeks, and I feel like a lot of them involve an established NHL player going the other way. So I don't think this is a deal that's going to involve a lot of futures, prospects, draft picks. I think that if a team is going to acquire Natchez, they probably need to be prepared to send an established player the other way. I may be making this up. So pardon me if this is not accurate, because I've read a lot of these different stories. I feel like I read a story that was Winnipeg Jets focused that involved Natchez being traded for Ehlers, who's also a winger who needs a change of scenery, probably. So I'm thinking about the Predators and what their potential package could be. You know, I wonder if the Hurricanes would want Luke Evangelista. I wonder if the Hurricanes would want Tommy Novak, because they have a lot of players that are becoming unrestricted free agents. They're going to have to make some tough decisions you know, perhaps someone like Novak, for example, who is signed for the next, 3 years at a reasonable cap hit, could be enticing to the Hurricanes. But then again, if you're the Predators, you would want someone like Nate just playing with Tommy Novak and boosting, you know, a potential second line. So to me, I don't think when you hear star, I'm not saying that the Predators are going to trade, not that they could, but they're not going to trade Roman Josi for Marty Nation. But I wonder if the Hurricanes, and they would be right to ask, would be looking at someone like Luke Evangelista or Tommy Novak as someone who they would want on the other end of that deal.
Yeah, I think they're trying to stay in that winning window. So like we talk about with Saros, when people say, well, just take two or three first-round picks and this product. That's not as appealing to a team that's trying to win. So the Predators have all kinds of picks, and you might have one or two of those in a package, but I tend to agree with Adam. They're going to want something that keeps them along the same plane that they are. So let's talk about the other piece of this, Adam. The next contract for Natchez, for his production, knowing that there's more potential there, that everybody would agree that he's got a chance to make another jump. His father was basically saying, you're not using him right. He's a star. They just need to let him go. And he needs to go somewhere else, and he can be a star. I don't know if I can bank on that if I'm the team trading for him. I've got to value him at what he has done in the league. So what is that number in your mind?
It's a good question, and I guess it depends on what kind of contract Natchez wants to sign. Because he's a restricted free agent, they could do a bridge deal, which is, of course, a shorter contract that could get him into free agency or walk him up to unrestricted free agency versus a long-term deal. And I wonder if Natchez would be, just based on what I've read, I wonder if he would be open to that if he feels like he needs to prove himself a little bit more before he gets that big deal. His current cap hit is $3 million per season. I mean, I'm wondering if a cap hit, and this is just spitballing here, I'm wondering if on a bridge deal, if a cap hit in the $5 to $6 million range would get it done. Now, of course, if he signs a longer-term deal, that changes things. But I wonder, just based on where he is in his career and in the feeling that he has more to give, he wants a higher role, maybe another type of prove-it deal would be good for him. So, I wonder if I don't know how many years away he's from restricted free agency. Unrestricted free agency. I'm not sure how many more years away he is from that. But I wonder if he's got to be close. I wonder if a 2 or 3 year deal with a $5 to $6 million cap hit could get it done. Which by the time that deal's over, he's still in his late 20s and he can sign that long term deal that takes him through the rest of his career.
Yeah, a couple different ways you could go. You're right. Just sign him for the next 2 or 3 years, or go for the big shebang and say he's only 25. Let's lock him in at a rate that we like, and hopefully that turns into a good investment. You mentioned Nick Ehlers for the Jets. He's a guy that's unrestricted after next year. He's got 1 year remaining at $6 million. He's 28. These are all guys that are not free agents, but if you're shopping around and you're Barry Trotz and you're looking for that addition, he would also, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, be in a category of not a big, big fish like Mitch Marner, but a guy that wouldn't cost you as much but could be a definite upgrade in your top nine. What would you think about him?
I've always really liked Nikolaj Ehlers, and I feel like in Winnipeg, Nikolaj Ehlers is the perfect example of a player where the analytics crowd versus the quote-unquote 200 hockey men vary quite, very differently. Ehlers project a lot like Natchez. A lot of the things I said about Natchez apply to Ehlers. Great skater, his ability to score off the rush, create off the rush, just like Natchez, the type of player that would sit, I think, really well in an Andrew Brunette system. Now, I wonder if Winnipeg underwent a coaching change. Rick Bowness retired. and Scott Arneil, who was already on the bench, was promoted to head coach. So, again, sort of like the Hurricanes with their general manager situation, I'm wondering if Winnipeg and their coaching situation changes things around. Nikolaj Ehlers had 61 points in 82 games, but ranked seventh in ice time among forwards for the Winnipeg Jets this season. Like, that's always sort of been the thing with Ehlers, is really good player, but people who really like the player feel like he doesn't get the ice time that he deserves. I mean, the past two years, he's averaged under 16 minutes of ice time per game, despite the fact that, again, he had 61 points in 82 games, despite playing fewer than 16 minutes a game. That's really impressive. The other thing that's also shocking to me is that he's been in the NHL for 9 years.
Yes.
Like, he's been in the league since he was a teenager. But Ehlers, I feel like, is the type of player that would truly benefit from a change of scenery. I think given more opportunity, because you look at the Jets, they're kind of top heavy, right? You've got Mark Scheifele, you've got Kyle Connor. There was a time they had Blake Wheeler and Patrick Laine. Like, Ehlers has never been able to crack that top group. So I'm wondering if a change of scenery would do him good. And I think if he were to play for this team, he would definitely have a bigger role. And I think just based on his point production and limited minutes, I think that, you know, he could be a player who could really take off with more opportunities. So I'm not sure what the acquisition cost would be there, but like Natchez, Ehlers, I think, fits the type of player that would do really well playing for Andrew Brunette.
And the dynamic of the Jets is, of course, they're in the division with the Predators.
Right.
What dynamic of – how does that work in a negotiation as opposed to the Hurricanes, who are in the East? I think it's a little bit easier to deal across conference rather than within your division. But that's a name to keep an eye on. Adam, another area that we've been talking about a lot, and you came on with us right after the Ryan McDonagh trade. You've had a chance to maybe look at it a little deeper now. Any other names that are popping out to you as guys that we should be keeping our eye on as potential acquisitions, either by trade, because we've talked about a couple trade options here, or even free agency, but there's no doubt that the Predators would be interested, and I'd be surprised if they don't go out and get a new defenseman from the outside to try to replace McDonagh.
Well, we definitely talked about one of the names on my wish list, which is Brett Pesce, just because I feel like he is very similar to Ryan McDonagh in terms of the way he approaches the game, and he's also right-handed. So playing him on a pair with Roman Josi, I feel like that would make a really good top pairing. Those two players, I think, would complement each other very well. Another name you mentioned to me, Willie, privately, that I thought was interesting was Matt Roy, who's not a household name. He's a right-handed defenseman who's played for the LA Kings throughout his career. Really good player, under the radar player. Just like Pesce, just like McDonagh, more of a defensive-minded player. Played on a pair in Los Angeles with Vladislav Gavrikov for the past year plus. I really like him. I wonder if he might come a little bit cheaper just because he is not a household name. Certainly wouldn't be a sexy acquisition by any stretch of the imagination. But again, the type of player I think you could put on a pair with Roman Josi, and it would work out really well. You know, if you're looking for someone with a little bit more offense, we touched on these two players last time we spoke too. Sorry about my dog barking at God knows what he's barking at down there.
It's not the first time that he's gotten on the air.
Yeah. Pretzel does not have any manners when it comes to this kind of thing. No etiquette when it comes to radio.
None.
Anyway, I mentioned Brady Shea. Willie, you mentioned Brandon Montour. And both of them are offensive-minded defensemen. Montour, I believe, is right-handed.
Yes.
Shea is left-handed.
Right.
I prefer Shea over Montour for two reasons. One, Shea kills penalties. Montour doesn't. So So if you're looking for that element, Shea brings that. Montour doesn't. The other thing is that Shea has been incredibly productive despite not getting very much power play time. In Carolina, I believe Brent Burns basically sits on the top power play unit for the Hurricanes. And Shea does come on. I think he's on the second unit. But he definitely doesn't get as many minutes as Montour when it comes to the power play. But I thought this was interesting. I looked this up before I came on. Over the past 2 years, there's only two defensemen in the NHL that have scored more even-strength goals than Brady Shea, Eric Karlsson and Cale Makar.
Wow.
Shea has as many even-strength goals over the past two seasons as Roman Josi. So the
That's
fact
impressive.
That he puts up a lot of points but doesn't need power play time to do it is very appealing to me. So, I mean, both of them are good players. I think Montour is more of a risk taker than Shea is. Montour is more of the Roman Josi type, you know, likes to, you know, take those risks and play in the offensive zone. Shea is a big time point producer, maybe a bit of a steadier hand all around. But I like Shea. Now, he wouldn't play on a pair with Josi, but if you could supplement the second pair with someone like Shea, I think that would really help. And just because he also has the experience of not getting a lot of power play time and still putting up points, that's what it would be like here, too, probably, because Roman Josi, of course, runs the top power play. So I like Shea more than Montour. I like both players, but I like Shea more than Montour when it comes to a fit on this team.
Adam Vingan, appreciate you for stopping by, Adam. Go tend to pretzels because he needs you. He needs your attention or some love or something.
Sorry about that.
Oh my gosh, don't
apologize. Sorry about that. I mean, it's not as bad as the time Arlo needed a Band-Aid when I was on with Robbie and Joe. But, you know, it's like Animal House over here, literally and figuratively.
But Pretzel will be asking you later today to play back the podcast to be able to hear himself on the radio.
Yes, Pretzel, you know, he's very vain. My 6-year-old dog.
You're a dad first and a hockey analyst second. Adam Vingan, thank you as always, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, guys, thanks.